We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following is a Learfield presentation of MSN.
It is a great day to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
The Mountaineer Sports Network. All across the Mountain State, this is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Welcome to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Today's show is brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, Farmer Klein and Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants, hiring West Virginia Virginians to do West Virginia's work. CECINC.com. That's CECINC.com. In addition to Coach Brown's weekly comments, we'll hear from West Virginia assistant coaches and key Mountaineer players. Now let's talk Mountaineer football and head live to the Pushcar Center in Morgantown. Alongside the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley, here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And good afternoon, Mountaineer Nation. We welcome you inside the Pushcar Center as it is Kansas week. West Virginia has one game remaining in the 2021 regular season, and they hope to have a game in the postseason as well, and it will be predicated on what happens at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening in Lawrence. Thanks for joining us, Dale Wolfley, on the aftermath of a big Texas victory, and now we get to hunker down, buckle down, to take on a much better and improved, and I think a team that's playing with a lot of spirit, the 2-9 Kansas Jayhawks. But before we get into that, we can always still savor a little bit of 31-23 victory over the Longhorns.
Does it feel like you had a big stake this past weekend, Danny? Because I'm telling you what, you know, going ahead and slaying the Longhorns, I enjoyed some red meat, and it is always good to enjoy red meat when it comes to the Texas Longhorns. How exciting it was to see the team come out and play a good game, a solid game, a game where I think the week before they learned a little lesson, and you don't beat yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot beat yourself, then you have a shot at winning the game. And I think that had to be a little bit of part of it. So you know the team is buying in when they're 4-6, they're flying around, and they're listening to the coaches, the head coach, Neil Brown, and still playing, man, still trying to make it happen. I know one thing, two things could have happened out of that game Saturday. One is the Mountaineers still have a shot to go to a bowl game, and the other one is that, guess what, the Longhorns or staying home in Austin for the holidays.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's a great feeling, as West Virginia is now 6-5 against Texas all time, 9-1 against the Kansas Jayhawks. Before we get to them, and we'll hear plenty about them, I'm sure, from Neil here in just a few moments. Letty Brown, he carries the ball 33 times for 158 yards, just a few off his career in a season high. Most carries in a game since Steve Slayton back in 2006. Running back coach Chad Scott is stopping by the program here coming up a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Mountaineer defensive line continues to be extremely, extremely valuable and playing at a very, very high level. We'll chat with Hakeem Mezador. But stay with us. Coming up next, Neil Brown to the podium after this on MSN.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Injured in a car wreck? The last thing you should worry about is how much it's going to cost you to fight the insurance company. Call 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. It costs you nothing out of pocket, and we don't get paid unless you do. We know about the money the insurance companies won't tell you about. We could get you more. Injured in a car wreck? It costs you nothing out of pocket. Nothing. Call Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. 800-687-5990. Around here, you matter.
You're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. Now it's time to hear from head coach Neil Brown.
And then try to give them some semblance of home. And then Thursday we do a big team-wide Thanksgiving meal here. And so it's really a time of the year where we're able to spend time not just X and O's, not just in the meeting rooms with our guys. Recap the Texas game first. I thought it was a three-phase win. We played quality football in all three phases. We can play better. I don't think we played our best, but I thought it was quality football, and that was really the goal all week, is let's play quality football. And talk about special teams first. Punt protection was much improved. We fielded all our kicks, which I think is big, especially they sprayed the ball over. Dicker is really good, and we were able to field those. And I thought the field goal was huge. Casey missed one. We would like to get him closer before half. And so I don't put that as much on him as we didn't execute a couple simple things in the two-minute drive before half. But he came back and made the one in the second half, and that was big. You talk about the difference between an 8-point game there and a 5-point game on that last drive. It was huge. Defensively, I thought we finished the game. And if you go back through our season, is defensively we've had some opportunities. We've played solid defense all year, but we've had some opportunities to end the game and we haven't. And we were able to end the game. You know, last two drives we got an interception that was huge on a fourth down play, and then the last drive they had, I think they got the ball 36 seconds and they never could get started, so they ended on downs. And then we limited our explosive plays. We played different against Texas than what we normally would. We were allowed to drop eight. And the main reason behind that was we really thought that we had a lot of respect for their wideouts, and especially Worthy. But Washington was really fast too. We thought our best form of defense was to keep the ball in front of us and limit their explosive pass plays. And we knew that they'd be able to ding us with some runs, which they did. But for the most part, we were able to limit the explosive plays, and it proved effective. Offensively, it starts with zero turnovers. Didn't turn the ball over. We dominated the time of possession, and that was due to third and fourth down conversions. We converted even some really long third and longs. And then we scored touchdowns in the red zone. And to me, those were the differences. Award-wise, we always give awards when we win. You know that. Congratulations to Jarrett, Big 12, Offensive Player of the Week. Thought he much deserved. He played extremely well. Thought he was on point. Didn't have the critical error that sometimes cost us. And I thought he, and especially in the first half, I thought he made some big-time throws. you know, in-house, our award winners, our defensive player of the game was Sean Mahone. Graded out 96%, had 41 production points, which is extremely high. We had him at 8 tackles in-house, 1 interception, 1 pass breakup, and he just played. He was all over the field. We asked him to support the run even more so than he normally would, and I thought he played really well. And I said that after the game, and watching the film, it really proved that way. Offensively, Letty Brown, we had him at forcing 10 missed tackles and 102 yards after contact. And he just played strong. Probably got him 5 more carries than I really wanted to. I didn't track it on the sideline. I normally would not let him get that many carries. So we'll have to be careful how we use him this week. Take it light on him in practice. But I thought he did a really nice job of just running through tackles. Special teams, player of the week. This gets overlooked a lot, but Austin Brinkman, our long snapper, we put a lot of pressure on him this week on some things we changed in punt, and I thought he answered the bell. He was great. Field goal, extra points, and punt. I thought he did a great job. He's done a great job all year. Our offensive lineman of the week is Brandon Yates. He's played his best football the last 2 weeks. One of the few guys that played high at a high level versus Kansas State. And then he came back and played it even better this week. We had him at 90%, 4 knockdowns, 3 great efforts. And he allowed no sacks and had no missed assignments. So that was his best game of his young career here. We always give out a blue-collar award, and those are guys that maybe don't always show up as much in the stat sheet, but just play the game the way that we want it played here. Offensively is Wyatt Milam. Obviously, that the big the block where he finished, that's getting a lot of airtime, but he plays like that all the time. You know, he's physical. He's young. He makes mistakes, but he's exactly what we're looking for on the offensive line. And then on defense, Scotty Young, he played all 59 snaps. He's having to play a different position. We played a dime package the whole game. He was in the box some, something he's not used to. And he started on 3 special teams. So he played a lot of football and did a nice job. And then our scout team awards, offensively was Tomas Remack, who's an offensive lineman that's getting better. He's redshirting this year. Defense was called Mazius Mosby, who plays on special teams for us. He's a great program guy. And then on special teams was Andrew Wilson Lamp, who's got a bright future here. Those are special teams. And then our juice squad man is getting all kinds of attention this week. And Derek Ambrosino was our juice award. So and that's fun. Guys had a lot of fun with that. They were excited. They made it to Sports Center, so that was their goal. So we'll see what they got in store this week. But those are the award winners. Kind of moving on to Kansas now. Huge game for us on the road. I think Kansas is playing their best football. I've got a lot of respect for Coach Leipold, even before getting to Kansas. We played him when he was at Buffalo. Schematically, they're very good in all 3 phases. You know, if you go back and, you know, if you look at what they did in Buffalo, rebuilding that program and getting it to the peak, they're great talent evaluators, and they are schematically, they do a really good job, and their kids always play extremely hard. That's no different here. He got thrown in, he hit the job he took over in May. You know, that's extremely late in coaching terms, and they're really, you can tell he's got high level buy-in there, and they're playing their best football. Special teams, their punt returner last year, he's their leading receiver, but he also leads the Big 12. So a challenge there. The kickoff returner, Logan, is their starting safety. He's had a couple big returns. We've obviously had issues on kickoffs, so that's going to be a challenge. And they got a kickoff specialist that kicks the ball out of the end zone. He can place it. So not sure if Winston will get any opportunities or not. Offensively, they stress you. That's the best, kind of the best explanation. They do a really good job of shifting in motion. They shift in motion pre-snap even more so than Iowa State. They want to get you confused. I think their football team, the reason they're playing, if I had to, I would give it 2 main reasons why they're playing their best football. Number one, I would put it on Lance and his staff, because you can see the things they've emphasized in week in and week out. They're starting to show up more and more. So high-level buy-in, so they're doing a great job motivating them. Second thing is Jalen Daniels. You know, he's been electric the last 2 weeks. He's made play after play versus Texas and TCU. And you can tell he's confident, and just he's changed really the demeanor of the football team. You know, special teams and defense is even playing with more energy because what he's doing. And he's a dual threat guy. He's been extremely accurate the last 2 weeks. You look at his passing numbers. He's not just a runner. He's a guy that can throw it. He's put it into some tight windows, made some plays under duress. I mean, I think he's playing at a really high level right now. The running back, Neal, I know he got hurt last week versus TCU. Not sure if he played, but he's a slasher freshman. He's doing a nice job, too. And they have Lassiter, who's really just he's solid. He's a guy that has as good of hands as anybody in our league. He's been a really productive player there for a long time, and their offensive line is making strides. I think that's another piece why they're having increased production, because their offensive line is really coming along. You see that they're playing their offensive line's young and their DBs are young, a corner and nickel, and as those two groups have improved, so is the play of their team. Defensively, play very hard, physical. I think they got at each level of the defense, they got high-end players. The DN Johnson, he's got a quick first step. He's one of the better pass rushers in our league. He's got a motor. Linebacker Potter, been playing ball there for a while. He's a smart, good tackler, gets them lined up. And then safety Logan, he'll be an all-conference player. Playing the run well. He's got some picks. Just a really good player. And like I said, their young corners are playing better. So our goal is we've got to stack some games. We need to play consistent football more so than just in a one-game period. We need to do it back-to-back. We need to do it on the road. And we got to have a great week of prep to be ready to go and get that job done. So with that, I'll take questions.
So, Neil, injuries, obviously a problem this past week, though. You overcame it. But news on that, any new ones? And hopefully anybody you're going to get back?
Well, I think that when you get this late in the season, you know, they've got injuries as well. I think they'll be thin. We're going to be thin at some spots. So I'm not sure it'll have a huge factor in the game on either side because we're about even, kind of like Texas. Texas had some injuries as well. We're hopeful Lance Dixon can get back and give us some snaps. And then Bryce Wheaton, we're hopeful he'll play. You know, he didn't finish the game the other day. We're hopeful he can play. Anybody in particular you want to know about? Charles Woods, he practiced yesterday. We're just going to see how he progresses. Hopeful would be the word I would use, but until he goes today and tomorrow, I can't give you a firm answer.
Vandarius.
So Vandarius, he didn't dress on Saturday. I would say that his status is kind of up in the air, and it's really up to him. But he's not injured, Mike.
Mentioned St. McCloud the other day. Now you've watched the film, your evaluation of true freshman out there first.
Yeah, well, I thought, first of all, he played with a lot of confidence. I like his demeanor. He's kind of a guy that's not too high, not too low. He got a little anxious at times, overplayed some things. You know, he over-pursued, which you'd rather have him do that, you know, because he was playing really hard, but he overran the ball. You know, anytime he missed some tackles is because he just he didn't take a very good angle, didn't use the sideline. But I thought he did a nice job. We played mostly zone coverage. We didn't put him in any man situations versus those guys. I thought he was physical. You know, we used him to blitz a couple times, and he made a difference. So pleased. And he'll get the start again this week. He'll play a lot this week as well.
How did the dime hold up last week against them?
Well, you know, we had some challenges with it, and credit to Texas. So we caught them off guard probably a little bit. And so I think they had one plan to come in and probably attack us in a certain way. And how we're playing defense on Saturday, they had to regroup, and they did, because they're really good offensive coaches. And what they did is they saw how we were fitting the box and went to some two-back stuff against those looks. And we were down a hat. And so they hit us with some runs. We missed some tackles. We mixed up the front after that, mixed up our box numbers a little bit, kept them off balance. But I would say it held up okay, good enough. You know, I mean, I guess that's the, you know, was it elite run defense? Absolutely not. But we felt like to win the game, you know, if we could play like we thought we were capable of playing on offense, and we didn't let them throw it over our head, we had a really good shot. And what that did is it allowed us to see the ball and then rally and make some plays. And they hit us for an explosive run, and they hit us for some fives and some sixes. But I thought we did a pretty good job for something that was new to us, John?
Answer, I guess.
It gave us an answer. It did. It gave us an answer, and it fit with the personnel we had to use in that game.
Do you go into this one expecting the unexpected? It's a night game, 2-9. Is that how you go about it, planning for this?
Yeah, I think that they're capable of doing a lot of things. You know, they've used tricks. They're going to be aggressive and go for it on fourth down. I think that's something that they just believe in. I don't think it's necessarily because it's the last game of the regular season. I think that they've shown that their last year at Buffalo and then this year that they really believe in being aggressive on fourth down. So we're going to be ready for any kind of gimmicks, any kind of trickery. I think that we have to be because they've used them. They've used them for success. Last touchdown they had against TCU was a trick play that they executed perfectly. They had a couple nice gimmick things that they did versus Texas as well. You know, I think people use that too because it keeps it fun, right? Like we use a trick play and went about as bad as it possibly to go. And the kids like practicing it, but hell, it didn't work. But yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good in practice. But they used some two quarterback stuff last week, and so yeah, they're going to keep you on your toes. And they're I do, and I'm not just saying that. Like I really have a lot of respect for the job they've done. You know, not just Lance, but they're on offense and defense. Their coordinators, I think, are both extremely sharp, and they've done a really good job with what they have right there. But they did a really good job at Buffalo too. So I'm not surprised.
You prep for them against Buffalo. Is there similarities what you prep for in that bowl game and what you're seeing from them this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think they've changed who they are or who they want to be. Now in the bowl game there, they were. Several years into having their system established, and they had a guy that would end up being a draft pick, and they had a tight end that was a draft pick, and two wideouts, and on defense they had a bunch of guys that were veterans, had a couple pass, you know, so, and those guys had all been in their system, you know, because they did a great job evaluating those guys. You know, they're less than what, 6 months, 7 months into their system here, so that would probably be a question for them, John. I don't know if they have as much in as they would, you know, into whatever year 4 or 5 that was at Buffalo. But how they play, like, that's like, I, that's it. Cause I went back and I pulled my notes from when we played them, and I've got like extremely well coached. They're going to take advantage of what you do worse. They play extremely hard. They're physical up front on both lines. And I think that all carries over, you know, which I think is ties into how they coach those guys.
You go into a little bit the unselfishness of Scotty Young.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he, so what I would say is he's a smart football player. First of all, Bob, he understands schematics of the game. And that's probably not the case as much now as maybe it used to be. I always reference back to, you know, like, you know, when I was growing up, And some of you all are older than I am, and I'm going to assume when y'all were growing up too, you went outside and you played and you did sports, and maybe you played, you know, football in the backyard and you had to officiate your own. You called your own fouls in basketball. You played baseball where you had certain foul, you know, foul lines and all that kind of stuff. You got to remember, like, most of the time, that's not what these kids have done. You know, they're playing this, which there's a place for that. You understand some things playing video games and but you maybe don't have the awareness that you had if you were out, you know, actually playing and stuff. And so Scotty, to me, is kind of a throwback in that mode because he really has a good understanding of team defense. And he has an understanding of, like on special teams, you know, kickoff is really a defensive play. And how you fit kickoff is very similar to how you fit an offensive football play when you're on defense. He understands that just from a structural standpoint. And so – he's got the ability to play really five different spots. And we've used him as a dime wheel. We've used him as a spear. We've used him at both high safety spots. We've used him in our rover package when we go and we kind of give a three safety look. He's played all those positions. And because of his knowledge of our scheme, but also his understanding of just football in general, and it is unselfish of him. You know, because he has played some different spots, but he's been a quality addition to what we've done here. He played big in our bowl game last year when he first got his opportunity when they passed the rule. And other than the games he was out, he's done a really nice job for us this year.
Your time of possession nationally is pretty good. It's been going up. That's like a subjective stat. Some coaches cling to it, some don't. So I was curious what you think about that. And also, it surprised me that it's so good because, you've had turnovers and some penalties that set you back. And I think you said third down's been hit or miss. That seems to be stuff that would work against it. How does that happen?
So third downs, we've not been bad, like in manageable third downs. We've actually been pretty decent for really how we've played overall, Mike. So I think time of possession, it matters when the other team's really good on offense. But it is to me, it's not the first stat I look at. All right, unless the team is really good on offense, and I think we're going to have a hard time with them. I don't know if that makes sense, but probably because if you're really good on offense, scoring fast is, if I had my druthers, I'd rather score fast, honestly. But that's not where we're at right now. And so reason, I think, for the time of possession is we haven't really played with a lot of tempo. All right. So I've been methodical. We've done more check with me, especially since the bye week, to get us in some best case plays. So that eats up some clock. And then we've had some high number play drives, probably more so than most. And so I think there's a lot that there's several different contributing factors. The games we've won or the games where we've played better on offense, our third downs have been really high. And I'm sure you've probably looked at it because you're asking this question, like we've had some abnormal like time differentials, like 16, 18 minutes a couple times, which is something that you just don't see very often.
When you post-season diagnosis stuff, you try to find out what you've done well. I would imagine contain within whatever it takes to get that. There are positives there. Is that something you
think? Yeah, there's positives because especially when you're thin on defense. Okay, so when you're thin on defense, the less plays you get, the better. And so I think we've maybe focused on that last couple weeks more so than we normally would. That was something we really concentrated against on Oklahoma is kind of controlling the ball. It's not something that we go in every week saying, hey, we have to do this. It was a point of emphasis last week. It was against Oklahoma, but it was against Kansas State, which we did a better job, probably midway through the second quarter. But it's not something we go to and say, hey, man, we got to do this. We need to make sure that we win the time of possession battle, unless we're in those kind of scenarios.
Mentioned third down and went and looked at what Jared did on third down. 8 of 13, 135 yards, one touchdown. Why was he so good on third down on Saturday?
Well, I thought he had a clean pocket for the most part. His movements within the pocket. I think we had two drops maybe on third down twos. And so I thought his pocket movement was better. And he threw the ball. He had a good day. It was like, no different than I'm sure some of us. We're going to have better days within our profession than others. And he had a really good day. I thought the ball really jumped off his hand. And it was if you go back and look at a couple of those crossing patterns he threw, like the first touchdown to Sam, and that was on point. It was a great route by Sam, too. But, that ball was on point, and it was buzzing. The ball was tight. I think we had some good plays, too. I think that that's something that we focused on last week was making sure that they were his best plays and we just make them work versus Texas. Does that make sense? And so a little bit different process than you think sometimes, but we really concentrate on saying, okay, these are Jarrett's best plays. Let's make them work versus what Texas is doing structurally, defensively, rather than let's take these plays, all right, that we think are really good and get Jarrett, make sure, a little different train of thought there.
Analytics change the offensive game more in third and fourth down decisions than anything else, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's the time that I use it the most. Because what happens is you go in, once you have a four down, so basically I'll make the decision that And at a certain point, when we start to drive, hey, we're going to go through it on, we're going to, this is a four down. So really, you can treat second down like you would first down. So whatever your game plan is going into the game on first down, you can use that on second. You play the third down like a true second down. And so it does. You know, I think that and probably what it does as a coach, it just gives you confidence in making those decisions, because the data backs up what your kind of gut is saying anyway. And so for me, that's the we use that and like in the game, into half timeouts. That's the two ways. The 2 points, I pay attention to it, but not to the second half. You know, a lot of the data stuff will tell you to start going for two in the first half. That's not something I'm comfortable with just yet.
It's the distance on fourth down where you're in that gray area.
Well, it changes each week. So it's based on these charts. We use these charts and a lot of – I mean, I don't want to bore everybody, but there's a lot that goes into it as far as how they come up with the charts. You know, like how many possessions does your opponent possess? What's their stop rate on third downs? What's their stop rate on fourth downs? What's the other team's punter like? What's it, you know what I mean? There's all these things that go into it. And they basically say, you know, some of them are as aggressive. You know, if you're playing in certain type of games, like I remember we played in Clemson in 16, it's really the first time we started using it heavily. And we went forward on like the minus 20 something, you know, fourth and one. But they're different week in and week out. And there's much that goes into it. I wouldn't say I follow it 100%, but we follow it pretty close.
A lot of math.
Well, they do it where it's pretty easy to read. You know what I mean? Like I'm not calculating the probability or anything, but I'm just, they do it. They, you know, it's a group that we use, and they give it to you in readable. We always we meet with them on Thursdays and kind of go through each game and opponents. Anybody else?
Does the analytics say anything about having two quarterbacks in the field at once?
We did it the last week. I didn't know Kansas was going to do it. We just did it to have a little fun, really. I think that's something we can continue to use. We had a couple other things we could have done off of it. They did some neat things last week. They played the Bean Kid and Jalen Daniels. And so we'll try to do it. You get late in the year, man. You try to, like I said, we did that when it worked. We went to our trick play, and whatever the opposite of good is, that's what that was. So sometimes you roll the dice and it works, sometimes it doesn't. But keeps them enthused. All right, see y'all. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, there he is, the head coach of the Mountaineers, Neil Brown, in advance of Kansas. And just, I guess, the biggest news items from the injury standpoint. Hopeful for Lance Dixon. That would be big. BFW did not finish the game on Saturday. Hopeful for him as well. Charles Woods practicing yesterday, and they want to see whether or not he can go today and tomorrow. So that's the latest from the MASH tent. But a lot of interesting nuggets there coming out of Neil Brown's press conference. Especially there towards the end, about some of the check with me's that Jared Daigie was doing, and then some insight into the prioritization of time of possession, not necessarily wanting to do that all the time, but maybe needing to do that for defensive purposes more so than anything, Wolf.
Yeah, you know, when you think about that, the check with me, you're actually checking with the coaches, and they're looking at it from up on top in the field, and they're saying, hey, should I go left or right? What part of the defense is stronger on what side?
Yeah.
You know, Danny. So, again, that's very interesting. Probably very beneficial for Jared to have that assistance on the field.
Brandon Yates playing much better his last two games. Wolf, you're watching the offensive line play all the time. Neil mentioned that he was one of the few to play at a very high level against Kansas State, and then he backed that up with another terrific performance here against Texas. What are you seeing from the ever-evolving left side tackle?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's really nice to see, because I don't think he was playing his best in the beginning of the season, and he's getting better and better each and every week. And so I really have been enjoying watching this offensive line come together, go down, go come back up. You know, it's that inconsistency that I think is starting now to, they're catching on, playing with each other.
All right, 33 carries for Letty Brown. We're going to talk to his position coach when we come back, so stay with us. Coach Scott on the way. The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, all presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
I feel like my concerns about the project budget are being overlooked by my consultant.
I feel like my accomplishments at work are being overlooked by my supervisor.
I feel like my community's requests for support are being overlooked by these large corporations.
At Civil and Environmental Consultants, people come first, always, whether that's our clients, our employees, or our friends in the community. It's why we listen intently and work harder to learn our clients' business and make their goals our goals. It's why we prioritize the career development of every individual on our team. And it's why we're invested in the sustainable growth and success of the communities across our great state. People are why we do what we love and love what we do. CEC is an employee-owned engineering and environmental consulting firm that plays a vital role in creating jobs and opportunities for West Virginians. We are all committed to building lasting relationships with the people around us every day. We'd like you to be one of those people. Visit CECinc.com for more. That's CECinc.com.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. You've heard from the head coach. Now, let's hear from a West Virginia assistant coach. Let's go back to the Pushcar Center in Morgantown with your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And our assistant coach joining us here inside the Pushcar Center today is Chad Scott, and he's got to be feeling good about what the Letty Brown put on tape. His 11th career 100-yard gain a game. He gained 158, 2,732 yards, seventh all-time in West Virginia history. But I'm sure you like, Coach Scott, this statistic more so than anything, that West Virginia under Neil Brown is 12-0 when they have a back rushing for 100 yards. We're wow. unbeaten. So wow. So there's that.
There's that. Seventh all-time rushing and undefeated when we got 100-yard rushing.
Yep, under Neil Brown, sure.
Well, hopefully we get another one this Saturday.
Yeah, but, no doubt.
Tell you what, even more impressive statistics, I think he had 102 yards after contact and he forced 10 missed tackles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's even more impressive to me because we talk about, you know, does your talent equal your production, right? And, you know, you're supposed to play hard, and you know, but it's about being productive. What do you do beyond what's blocked? And then Lyon did a phenomenal job on Saturday, straining and being physical. But he did a phenomenal job getting yards beyond what they blocked and forcing tackles, which was huge.
How does one get to that point where, you know, you're able to, from a strength and balance perspective, do what he did and put on tape?
Well, I mean, preparation, off-season training, where you know Coach Joseph, and then just being able to take what you do in the off-season, in the weight room, to on the football field, you know. But preparation as well. He does a phenomenal job practicing with what we call game-like behavior. You know, and obviously going against, you know, teammates that are giving you looks that you think you're going to see or that you're trying to. But he does a phenomenal job, you know, practicing with game-like behavior. Therefore, on Saturday, you know, it's not a shock, it's not a surprise to him. He's felt like in his head he's ran that particular play. He's kind of, you know, ran through that particular tackle, made this particular guy miss several times throughout the week.
You know, for me, Letty's at his best when he's breaking tackles, when he's being that bad, bad Letty Brown. Yeah. How is his mesh going with the offensive line now? How do you see them growing?
They go hand in hand together. You know, they do a phenomenal job. They practice that way, you know. And when they go out in the football field, and, you know, he see those guys training, that gives him energy, that gives him extra push. And then when those guys in turn see, you know, whether or not, you know, they may not block it as right or whatever, but he goes over and beyond and breaks that tackle and gets through. That gives those guys extra push, you know, and it goes hand in hand. You know, they strain, it gives him a little extra edge, and he strains, gives those guys extra hand.
Chad Scott with us, West Virginia running back coach. I think the last time that we had you on, we asked you the question as to who RB2 was yeah. going to be, and that was yeah. A few months ago. Yeah. I think without question now we know that answer. The evolution of Tony Mathis. Let's yeah. talk about that.
Oh man, it's been great. You know, we come back from the bye week. You know, we had talked about, you know, just getting back to where he was confidence wise in spring and fall camp. And he said, Coach, you know, I finally feel like, you know, I'm myself. You know, come back from the injury, and you'll see that. And start with the TCU game, man. He went out there and showed it, and his confidence is at a high level now. And he's practicing at elite level, man. He gives us an extra juice when we put him out in the field. It's been great to see.
Is that all it was, confidence?
It's all confidence. Wow. It's all confidence. Because he's, like I said, a spring ball. He had a great spring. Had a great fall camp. Sustained a little injury. Was out for a while. So just getting himself back to, you know, where he was once before. But once he got out there, it's been great to see. And even now, the level of confidence he's playing with, the practices with, how he conducts himself in the meeting. But that's been great to see. That's been huge for us. And I actually think that makes Letty run even stronger mm-hmm. in the second half, that he has, you know, Tony back there, you know, to go in and be able to move the chains for us.
What is TM's Tony Mather? What's his strengths?
His burst, his explosiveness. He's very explosive. I mean, he can get, like, his explosive from 0 to 60, right? He gets there right now. So his explosiveness is his strength.
Yeah, don't, you know, I'm sorry, Danny. That's one second. Okay. Last question for me is, Letty Brown, mm-hmm. complete running back. Mm-hmm. Future for Letty, and why? Because he is such a complete running back.
Great future. I mean, the sky's the limit. I still think his best football is ahead of him. But he is a complete running back. He runs the ball effectively, catches the ball very effectively, you know, runs after catch effectively, and he does a phenomenal job picking up the blitz. So he has a bright future. You know, if he stays healthy and takes care of his body, he has a bright future.
Speaking of futures, what is the future for Tony Mathis? Is he somebody that you believe could eventually evolve into
Absolutely.
A feature
Man,
back?
I'll tell you what, he can evolve into a feature back. In fact, that's expectations for him to evolve into a feature back. I mean, to see what he's we all saw it in spring and fall camp. You know, you just obviously want to be able to see it on game day in the stadium, in the game day atmosphere. And, you know, once he got it and he got those jitters out of the way and to see him go in the game and run the ball the way he's running the ball, the expectations is for him to be a feature back. So, and nothing less than that.
And using him strategically, obviously more so in the second half when mm-hmm. you've hopefully worn the defense down a little
right.
bit, he's able to hit that quick hole.
He does. He's like the fastest person on the field, but on both sides of the ball at that particular time. You know, so it's a really good change up, and it's great to see. And, you know, really proud of the way he's been performing on Saturdays.
Well, it's been fun to watch the run game evolve, and if when it's going as it should, boy, it's a beautiful thing, isn't
it? No doubt. Feels good, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes,
there he is, Coach Scott. So I'll give you the number again, 12-0 when we get a guy over 100 rushing the football. And Letty Brown, his 11th 100 career, 100th-yard career game, and 33 totes, most in 15 years. Steve Slayton, 2006 against Marshall. Great performance by Letty. Great performance by Tony Mathis. Their position coach, Chad Scott, joining us. And we'll be back in a moment here. Stay with us. Hope to catch up with Hakeem Mezidor on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show all across MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Have you been injured in a wreck? You shouldn't have to worry about fighting the insurance company, and it shouldn't cost you a dime. Call attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell, 800-687-5990. We help fellow West Virginians. Ask around. We've probably helped a friend, neighbor, or even a family member. We never ask you for money, and we don't get paid unless you do. Injured in a wreck? Call the law firm you know. 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. Around here, you matter.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You're not too cool for me. And in return, I reciprocate that sentiment. I'll never be too cool for you. I was a man with a plan, but now I'm a dad with a decree, and you can't take that from me. Please let it be noted that I told my job they can dock my pay. Right now, it's just too important to take you to school every day. I want to be legendary for you. I want you to puff out your chest when you go to school the same way I do. I walk taller because of you, because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmen to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Live from the Pushcar Center in Morgantown, you're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Alongside Dale Wolfley, here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And this segment brought to you by CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants. We are happy to be joined by Hakeem Mezidor, who's with us here. And in advance of Kansas, man, you put some good stuff on tape this year. Congratulations on a terrific season for you personally. You've done a lot for this team. Let's just throw it out there. You've been very unselfish up there on that defensive front. You've been inside. You've been outside. You've taken on double teams. You're basically the unsung hero on this team. I think we could go as far as saying. How would you assess year two here for you at West Virginia?
It's been difficult, definitely trying to like adjusting to a new position, mm-hmm. and being underway at the position. It's definitely hard, but I feel like if I do my job, then the linebackers and everybody else will be able to have a field day. So I'm all about the team.
You certainly are, and you have done a good job. And I think what I need to explain is that what he does, in being on the inside, is he's taking on two blockers and occupying them so that other players like Josh Chandler Semedo, who's having a terrific year, can go in there and make tackles. So that's what he mean unselfish. He's giving up his body for that.
You are, Hakeem, and talk about the difficulty of taking on a double team. What does that do? What does it mean? How do you handle it?
It takes a toll on your body. Definitely takes a toll on your body, but it's just part of the job of being a nose guard. You got to take up double teams almost 90% of the time to free up gaps for linebackers. And if I'm taking on a double team, I know somebody like Dante or Taj is going to be one-on-one on somebody, and I know they're going to win their battle.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I watched you play against OSU and you got that sack against Spencer Sanders, you did a 360-degree move, man. Yeah. you went left and he came back right and made the terrific sack. But again, it was because one of the few times that you weren't occupied by a double team, and I know that can be frustrating. I know, especially when you're a youngin', because you're in the middle taking a pounding, and you know, it's at the end of the year, it takes its toll. But I want you to know, as Mountaineer Nation, your coaches, everyone we talk to is talking about who you are, your sacrifice, and also the fact that you just play at an extremely high level no matter what the situation is.
Thank you.
And what is what do you like better? I mean, do you like being outside better? Do you feel more comfortable there? Obviously, you could play both.
I like being outside due to, like, the space that you have.
Okay.
On the inside, you have a lot less space. Your footwork has to be smaller. You have to be a lot quicker. Defeat double teams. All these different things. So I do love being outside, but being inside, it is a difficulty, but it's nothing that you can't, like, I can't adjust to and try to make plays.
What is the going back and forth, right? Because you've had to kind of do both, right? And you didn't have a lot of time, you know, from going outside to inside or even back the other way. What type of adjustment is that in doing that in a short turnaround, I guess?
It's just something that you have to click in your head. Like, okay, I'm not playing on the inside right now. I'm on the outside. I have a lot more space. I can do these different things, and then when I move back inside, all right, I have to be more aggressive. I have to watch out for double teams, if the guard's going to come on to me, or the running back, the tight end, what type of formation I'm going to they have, so what type of play I'm going to get. It's just different things you have to look out for.
I understand you have another job on the team. You're also a translator. You have to translate for, like, the coaching staff for some teammates, right?
Sometimes.
Tell us a story there.
Eddie V speaks French, so he speaks better French than English. So I'll help him sometimes, but not much. It's only Eddie V, and he speaks English pretty well. So.
Okay, so he's picking it up. Sorry, I don't understand. And then, well, he doesn't have an out because he's got you as a teammate, and you can easily break it down for him.
Yeah, I could if he ever needed help, I could definitely be there for him.
Do you ever talk with Eddie V in French about your coach? Like, so he doesn't know what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't do that. No, I do talk to him in French all the time, though.
How close-knit is that defensive line room? Because there's a lot of talented guys there. There's a lot of alphas, but it looks like it's pretty close-knit.
I feel like we have the closest room on the team.
Why is that?
We're really close. We talk all the time outside of football, in football. We coach each other up. We're just all for each other.
Who's the leader in that room?
I'd say... Man,
is it Dante? Is it you? Is it who could it be?
I feel like, because we have so many alphas in the room, it could be three, four, or two people. But I look up to the older guys like Dante and Taj. I'll ask them for advice that I don't have, I don't know, because I've been in college for only 1.5 years, 2 years, but they'll also come to me if they need anything, if they need to. Or, like, if they just did a rep, they'll ask me for advice, and the younger guys will ask me as well. We just all ask each other, but I do ask the older guys like Dante and Taj for advice.
Jordan Jefferson, what's his potential? It seems like this is a guy that we really need to be paying attention to. Maybe gets overshadowed. Guys like yourself and Dante and even a Taj Alston. Talk about Jordan Jefferson.
He's the strongest person I've ever seen in my life.
What?
Yes, he'll walk in the weight room and he'll have 6 plates on his back just squatting it like it's nothing. It's pretty scary. But he has great potential as well. He can do really good.
Yeah, he's been coming on very strong.
Yeah.
Jordan Jefferson. And what's the most favorite thing you like about football?
I love a lot of things about football, but I like going back and watching my reps so I can work and fix everything I do. I always watch film, little things. So before every practice, I'll have something in my head that I will repeat to myself every day. So let's say it's hands before I do a rep, hands, and I look at the rep before, and then that night I'll look at it on film, and if I fixed it, then it's just a great feeling. I don't know, watching film, just watching myself.
So you like the game of perfection.
Yes.
A personal perfection, and the art of practice, really, is what football is. It's a practice sport, and getting all the little things right, and of course a chess match is what it really turns out to be up there on the defensive front there. For Hakeem Mezidor, and inside, outside, doesn't matter. He's been so valuable to the Mountaineers the last two seasons, and hopefully for a long time to come. Continued success to you.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Stay with us. We'll have our closing thoughts and update you if you're just joining us. We'll catch you up to speed on what Neil said when we return here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, all presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong. She can stand, she can do more. I build a rocket and watch it soar. We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Farmer Klein and Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, injured in a car accident. Call Farmer Klein and Campbell. They are part of the Neil Brown Press Conference Show partnership as we get you ready here for Kansas Final One. Wolf, it's as simple as win and you're postseason eligible. Lose, you are not. West Virginia at 5-6 going to Lawrence Saturday night.
You got to go win. Go do it. Go get it done. And you'll have your rewards.
So we're going to take the defending Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week with us to Lawrence. That is quarterback Jared Daigie, who graded out extremely well, who, by the way, is third in completions all time, number 5 in pass yards. And, of course, Letty Brown will try to back up his 33-carry, 158-yard performance. The Mountaineers will try to dominate time of possession. We've got continuing coverage about West Virginia and Kansas throughout the week at WVUSports.com. Thanks to Chad Scott, Hakeem Mezidor, for Dale Wolfley. I'm Dan Zanzibar. Angrily. It's the Neil Brown Press Conference Show here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Been listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Today's show has been brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, Farmer Klein and Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, CEC, civil and environmental consultants, hiring West Virginians to do West Virginia's work, CECINC.com. At CECINC.com. Be sure to log on to WVUSports.com to listen to this program in its entirety on demand. Also, be sure to download the WVU Game Day app, a must-have for West Virginia University fans. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.